This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last month, Deputy Home Minister Datuk Nur Jazlan Mohamad commented that Malaysia's current laws are insufficient to tackle online sex offenders. This comes after police revealed a Malaysian teenager was one of the victims of American pedophile Blake Robert Johnston, who has been jailed in the US in 2014 for sexual activity involving minors. Despite the establishment of a rehabilitation program for sexual offenders in Malaysia, there is a possibility that these offenders will repeat the same offense, only this time using the online platform. Latest news has emerged concerning another pedophile, Richard Huckle, who admitted to committing a string of sex attacks on children from poor families in Malaysia. He also took photographs of the children and uploaded it online. Dr. Gishina Ayumat Saat is the criminologist and psychologist at University Sains Malaysia. She also established the Malaysian module for the rehabilitation of incarcerated sexual offenders.
In my experience, those that I have been in contact with make use of both online and offline approaches is to maximize their pool of targets. Now, the use of smartphones in particular make it easy for sexual predators to connect to their victims anywhere, anytime. There are a few cases of solely offline sex predators among older offenders who are not technology savvy. Younger sexual predators make more use of online approaches and are more likely to use this as the only approach, as the probability of detection is perceived to be less likely. So yes, there are a few cases whereby the offender only commits virtual sex crimes. If they are caught, these individuals, some of them are considered newbies, some of them have been operating for years. Now, the problem with so-called online sex predators is that their actions rarely stop at the virtual level. Sooner or later, the desire to meet and engage in physical intimacy with the victim of choice would prompt the sex offender to commit a physical crime.
There has yet to be a law in this country that is established to specifically apprehend sexual offenders who operate online.
In the Penal Code, it clearly says in Section 375, what is the definition for rape? So it involves sexual intimacy. Now, online, you can have sexual violation, which does not necessitate sexual intimacy. There are conditions whereby it may be loosely applied, but this is not covered currently in any of our laws. For example, if the offender requests that the victim violates herself or himself using objects, so there's penetration in the private areas, but not physically done by the predator online, whether it's just the sounds or whether it's just the images or whether it's both containing in the video, then that is posted online.
Dr. Gishina proposes that amendments should be made in the Evidence Act, Child Act and the Criminal Procedure Code to address the problem.
When it comes to arresting these individuals, it's not so much so about the laws being lenient. The laws are currently insufficient or lack empowerment. This is because courts are interested in evidences of innocence or guilt, not so much about the tools used to attract or get a victim. The internet is a tool. So this needs to be addressed in some laws, for example, the Evidence Act, whereby the internet imagery, maybe perhaps from the laptop or maybe smartphone gadgets, can be used as clear evidences in court. You also need to look into the Child Act 2001. It states about exposure, talking about neglect, talking about abuse, but not the mechanisms, the tools for that abuse. Then we need to look into the Criminal Procedure Code. How are the evidences gathered? What is the appropriate procedure in taking such evidences to court?
Dr. Gishina also explains it is more difficult to apprehend sex offenders online as evidence can be easily erased with just one click.
Crimes that occur in virtual settings take time to trace. However, it is very common for the police to find a lot of evidence in the electronic gadgets of online sexual offenders. This is because such offenders normally have a virtual library that they are obsessed with. There is always a private collection of sexually explicit consent being kept somewhere in the phone, in the laptop, CD, thumb drive. It takes time and effort to build a collection. So these online sexual offenders, there will be a record somewhere. For online sex offenders, traces of physical evidence can be obtained linking the victim to the offender. That is via the images online. For offline offenders, many of them keep mementos of their victims, so it makes it easier to present evidence in court. Online is just imageries. If they feel frightened, they just, you know, press the delete button, it's all gone. And it will take the police time to crack the laptop or the PC or the smartphone for those images.
Datuk Nur Jazlan adds that the Communications and Multimedia Act should also be amended to deal with cyber sexual grooming. Fung Cheng Leong, co-chairperson of the Bar Council's Cyber Law and Information Technology Committee, explains what the Act entails.
The only provision in the Communication and Multimedia Act that could be relevant is Section 233 of the Communication Multimedia Act, which basically puts an offence to a person if they have improperly used network facility or network service. So if, let's say, posted some obscene online, you may create offence under Section 233. This section is actually very wide. It covers all forms of offence. It not only covers obscene communication, it also covers any of abusive or harassment type of communication. But unfortunately, this section is, again, not specific to a certain offence, and normally the government or the prosecutor usually just use this section to cover all form of obscene communication. But again, when there's an offence, a complaint is filed to the Malaysian Communication Multimedia Commission, usually they will investigate and then they will decide whether to prosecute or not, or they file the papers with Attorney General. But based on experience, complaint filed to them, they are selective to prosecute the person or not. They will not prosecute each and every case. There may be cases they may think that this is a civil matter, please go to civil court and resolve it among yourself.
Cheng Leong adds that the laws available in the country are not specific enough to combat online sexual predators. However, there has been talk of a new amendment in the law.
We do not have something like the UK Sexual Offences Act, which is very thorough, which also provides for actual sexual grooming of child, where you can actually initiate the meeting for sexual purposes. But in Malaysia, we are not as thorough as the sexual offences laws in the UK. I think the law has not catch up with all these offences, but I understand that the AG chambers are looking into it to provide for a certain division. But again, sexual exploitation via online happens in the very private arena. It will be quite difficult to track what's going on between these people.
To effectively curb online sex predators, the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry is finally setting up a sex offenders registry 9 years after the idea was first mooted. But Dr. Gashina feels that this will not solve the problem in the long run.
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But many things need to be considered when establishing a sex offenders registry. It all boils down to, are Malaysians ready for it? Meaning, are they going to be responsible with that knowledge? Setting a sex offender registry is reactive. The sexual crime has already been committed. Someone has already become a victim. Now, the better way is to conduct proactive crime prevention by doing things to prevent its occurrence in the first place. Now, this is done by giving awareness, education, being alert of surroundings, and empowering vulnerable people to defend themselves from the sexual predator. Now, our records indicate that these individuals who had gone through the 2 years rehabilitation program, they're okay. They're not harming anyone. So, this person has already been punished. Is it fair to extend that punishment for the rest of his life? Putting them on the sexual offender registry would only help to label them, would enable the society to monitor this individual, but it shouldn't be taken as a simple way to blame this individual for all the crimes that occur in the neighborhood. Because very true, there would be irresponsible people taking that into the factor and committing crimes and just, you know, lumping, oh, he did it. It's not me. Why are you looking at me? You have a known sex offender in the neighborhood. Blame him for everything. That's not right either.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.